Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you know that most traditional creams or serums are made up of 70% water, with 15% going to emulsifiers and preservatives? That what makes up the goo of the cream, which leaves only 15% for the active ingredients that truly benefit your skin. But what if there was a better way? Enter Fiber Skincare, a groundbreaking technology set to redefine skincare. Fiber Skincare harnesses nanofibers, tiny natural fibers 500 times smaller than a human hair. Their scientists have been working on this technology for the past 15 years and just a year ago achieved a remarkable breakthrough, encapsulating active ingredients directly on these natural nanofibers. The result? A formulation free of water, emulsifiers, or preservatives, meaning the active ingredients are not just pure, but are five times the concentration of most creams or serums. Their first formulation is anti-wrinkle, and it's not just effective, it's fast. Upon application, your skin feels tighter in a mere 10 seconds. That's right, you can feel the difference almost instantly. But that's just the start. Over the next 7 days, these concentrated actives unfold their full potential, clinically proven to improve wrinkles by 19.4%. 19.4%. I said it again. It's worth checking out the Instagram Fiber Skin, F-I-B-E-R Skincare, to learn more about the technology and how it works. You might have seen some viral videos of the mask's disappearing effect. It's easier to apply than by wetting your face, applying the patch, and removing it. The nanofiber, which contains the active ingredients, disappears into your skin quickly. Experience the transformation for yourself with their 2-day trial pack, a precursor to the 7-day program that promises not just results, but a revolution in your skincare routine. And with their tighter skin guarantee, your satisfaction is not just expected, it's assured. If you try the 7-day program and your skin doesn't feel tighter, you'll receive a full refund, no questions asked. They have clinically tested the program to be most effective if you use it 1 week on, 3 weeks off. But we understand that everyone's skincare routine is different. That's why if you sign up for their monthly program, they will send you the monthly pack to remind you. You can pause or cancel at any time, giving you control over your skincare journey. If you want to try this revolution in skincare, go to fiberskincare.com and use code BACK for 15% off. Again, that's fiberskincare.com, code BACK for 15% off.
Baby, let's just dance, dance. Let's just dance, baby. I just wanna dance, 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 dance. Can you feel it? Can you take it? Can you come and embrace it? All of this electricity. Do it right now, right, right, right now. Turn the volume up loud. Give me your electricity.
Welcome back to the bar, bitchettes. It's bitch number one, Christy.
And bitch number two, Kelly.
Kelly, we should have really been recording our conversation for the last hour.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I don't think we could record. I don't think that there's a rating that would be filthy enough for the conversation we just had.
Yeah, we were bad.
Yeah, and Chloe's in the room. Well, she was.
Well, Chloe's the one that started the conversation.
She threw out some, I'm like, wait, what did you just
say? Yes! I sure as hell didn't start that conversation.
Oh, it's a whole different world these days, Kel. You and I.
Oh, I know. I just don't fit in.
The things that I have observed just in the streets. So I'm in New Orleans. I met Chloe here for Mardi Gras after the Super Bowl, but I didn't even tell you. I was walking down Bourbon. First of all, I don't love Monday and Tuesday of Mardi Gras. I think it's the most, because all the good stuff happens the weekend before. But I will say, walking around the French Quarter on Tuesday, I saw some shit. First of all, there were women out who only had rhinestones on their nipples. That's it.
Were they like old women?
They were like 70.
Like, why do people do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Get that.
Because I'm like, that's not cute, ma'am.
Yeah, like I'm not into that.
Oh,
I could see if you're cute and like young, like our kids. I mean, not that they should do it, but as an old person, you should not be doing that.
I will say all of the college girls were wearing bikinis. Like, well, no, that's not true. This is not fit to be called a bikini. They were wearing strings with a couple of like, I don't know, Band-Aids. It was very nude. Mm-hmm. I am a well-known prude.
Yes.
Look, for as wild as you think, like when it comes to like running around nude, I'm like, no, thank you. That's just not for me. It's not for me. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Although I have seen you wear a few like bustiers and stuff recently.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, like.
Bras under your jackets.
Yes, I find that all to be fine. I'm talking about like hard.
I must really be a prude then because I can't do that. That's naked to me.
That's naked?
Yeah.
My bustiers?
Well, like a bra under a jacket. I don't think I could do that.
Really? I paid a lot of money for my boobs. They deserve to be recognized and admired.
Well, you can still have a shirt on.
Right. But I do enjoy, I don't overly expose my boobs a lot. So if I do have a jacket on with a bra, I try to keep it a little bit classy, slightly classy. Classy adjacent.
Okay.
Well, I told you last year what Chloe said to me when I was going to Mardi Gras, right? I was going to Mardi Gras, and before I went, she goes, "Mom, whatever you do, please don't show your boobs." And I was like, "Oh my God, I would never. I just would never." And she's like, "Yeah, you're right." She goes, "But the sheer fact that I even have to have this conversation with my mother makes me want to kill myself." It's true. There she is. It's true. And I had to bring her in 27 times this weekend.
I can't believe you're being so wild.
Hey, the time is now.
That's right. Enjoy yourself.
It's my unhinged era. She was like screaming it. It's my unhinged era.
That's good.
And one thing I will say for Chloe is she's the most loving drinker you'll ever meet in your life. She loves everyone.
Really? See, my kids get like mean.
I complimented maybe 900,000 people last night.
She showed me this one picture. She goes, "Oh, that's Betty. She's 70. She's my friend." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "She taught me how to twerk." I'm like, "Jesus Christ."
Oh my gosh.
Sherry.
Paige will do that. Paige, the one night she was drunk and we went out and we went into this store and Paige is like showing me this like bathing suit or something. And she's like saying to the sales lady, "Don't you think my mom would look good in this? Isn't my mom like the most beautiful thing in the world?" And I'm like, "Oh God, you know, she's drunk."
Well, when Chloe came home, because I went to bed because I haven't been feeling well. She came home and she's like, "Mom," you know, like telling me about her night. And then she looks at me and she goes, "Love you." And then she's falling in bed. Like, she's like, "I love my mom so much."
I'm
like,
"Yeah, oh, you're drunk. Go to bed."
Lover. Meanwhile, I make shit up when I'm drunk. I'm like, "Did you know that there was an unknown episode of Friends where Joey died and Chandler was holding his lifeless body?" And people are like, "What?" I'm like, "No, it's true." Like, I make fucking stupid shit up all the time.
So all the bad things you say about me,
they're made up.
You're made up because you're always drunk when you're telling them stories.
100%.
Everybody, you hear that? All them things she says about me are lies.
Secrets are lies, Kel. Secrets are lies.
I know.
I have not watched. I know there's some Apple. What is it? Some Cracker Barrel Apple something video.
Yeah, what is that? I sent on our thing. What was that? I don't know what that means.
Well, I guess he sent back the video, but I haven't watched it yet. Let's see what it is, you guys.
Hi, welcome to Cracker Barrel.
Hello. We have
two of us. Abby's the hostess at Cracker Barrel. What?
Oh my goodness.
Well, she does love Cracker Barrel.
Yes. We used to always have to eat there.
Two of us?
Two? Table for two?
Table for two, please.
Okay. Who's paying tonight?
Why is she asking who's paying?
Probably because she's adding her food onto their bill.
You're an ass.
Why else would you ask that?
She always asks questions like that, though. Like, you're always trying to, like, out if you're a real gentleman or whatever.
I don't know. Do you see what I have on?
I'm dying. I wish I had mine on.
Yeah.
And then there were two. I love Nobody Likes Us. Nobody does like us. It's fine. I don't care.
No.
Nope. I like us. Care. I think we're pretty funny.
Me too.
I met so many bitchettes this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, everybody's a bitchette.
I need to get a bitchette sweatshirt.
I was at Clothes competition and this teacher walked by because we have a teacher's lounge, like a director's lounge. And she had a coffee cup and she walked by and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you went to the director's lounge. And she looked at me and she goes, you know, this isn't coffee, right? She goes, you know, that. I was like, okay, it's amazing.
I love that. Nobody ever has coffee in those coffee cups.
Fuck no, not at 2 o'clock in a dance competition. Are you kidding?
No.
No. You're lucky if you have coffee at 11 a.m. Usually by that time, you've been up since 4 and you're like, okay, it's drink time. Especially yes. if they're young and they're the yes. first groups. Hell no. God, I used to hate when Chloe would be 7 a.m. solo.
I know. Doing their hair and makeup. Like, my kids would be laying in bed still sleeping and I'd be putting their makeup on.
Yes, with their little eyelashes on.
Yeah, while their eyes are closed. They're like putting their eyelashes on.
Don't move. Mom has to glue these eyelashes on you, you two-year-old.
Stay asleep.
We had a little girl who did a solo at 2.
Oh, wow.
She did a solo. And I was like, you have a solo?
That's crazy.
I'm like, crazy. You're in a diaper. Like, it's wild. It was wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, at least ours were 4 and in a group dance. Standards, people.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. 2's young.
Yes. You're just taking dance for the first time at 2. You don't even know the dance.
Yeah, mine could barely stay in the room.
Exactly.
At age 2. Like, they just kept, like, she would kept coming out.
Yeah.
And you're like, find me.
Go in there. Mommy's coming.
Yeah.
Mommy's coming.
For a while, I had to sit in the room.
Oh, yeah, I did too.
In the front of the room, yeah. So she'd stay.
Yeah. I did with Chloe for a couple weeks, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. A solo at 2 is a little extreme, but whatever. Who am I to judge?
Did right? we have any patrons?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I didn't even look at that. How dare I? Oh, my God. Well, while I pull that up, what you drinking?
I am drinking a rosé, which I never drink, but I love these little one-thing bottles.
That's cute.
The Plumba. Yeah, you know what? They're so nice. I hate opening a full bottle.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm having today.
Yeah, the problem with having a whole bottle is that you feel morally obligated to drink the whole
thing. Yeah. So I got a bunch of these and I'm saving. Look how cute they are. And they have this little cork lid.
Yeah.
I'm saving these for if Brooke gets married and she would do it down here. I thought it'd be cute, like, to put sand in it and do like a little message in a bottle kind of thing for like her shower or her wedding. So I'm saving these little bottles. Isn't that cute?
Yes. Kelly's already saving like messages.
I am.
Oh, well, while I'm looking up the patrons, when Brooke had her graduation, you made all of those flowers out of book pages.
Oh my gosh. It took me forever. Yeah. I made roses out of pages and books. I loved them though. I thought they were something different. And then I did the tablecloth things where pages of books that like burnt the edges and like put them all over the table. Yeah. I worked my ass off on her graduation.
The level of over the top bullshit.
Yeah. I'm hoping that if Brooke gets, I don't even know if she's going to get engaged, but if she gets married, she's been talking about having it here. Okay. And I hope she does, because then I can do things like that. I can make them like, but for me to make them here and like, I can't transport centerpieces and shit.
No.
Pittsburgh from here. So it would be nice if it was down here, because then I could do a lot of that kind of stuff for her.
Yeah. And I mean, I think in my opinion, and take this for what it's worth, you know, it's just my opinion. I personally think a wedding like that, like a destination wedding, a regular wedding is so expensive. And I just feel like it's very hooky cutter a lot of the times. It loses its, I don't know, its specialness, if you will. But I will say, I thought Brittany's wedding was really great because it was on New Year's Eve. And so everybody, like,
it was a party.
Yeah, like, it was great because, you know, New Year's Eve, I never have anything to do because we live somewhere cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's See, now, like, in other ways, that was different. Like, it was difficult for my kids because they basically just went to the church and stopped at the reception but left because they didn't have a plus one.
Yeah.
They were just invited themselves. So, like, you can't, like, leave your boyfriend at home on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if their boyfriends were invited, they would have stayed and they would have had fun, but they left because they didn't have a plus one. And
right.
Brooke's like, what am I supposed to do? Leave Brian at home by himself and right. like Paige with Javon. So that was hard.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I'm sure. I liked it. Well, for me, my whole family was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was great because, like, yeah. all together, it was great. We got to dress up. It wasn't like, usually I'm sitting on the couch. This year I was in bed before it was even New Year's. Because I'm
yeah,
a little
me too.
Yeah, I was like,
I went to bed like 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why didn't I stay up an extra 10 minutes?
For what? So you could look at the clock and go, okay.
I don't know. I guess. But
all right. Let's
wait. You didn't tell me what you're drinking. Oh.
Well, right now I'm drinking water, but I'm going to switch to wine shortly. I'll switch. Look, it's a marathon, Kelly, not a sprint. I've been marathoning. Okay. And I don't feel well.
You sound like Josh. Josh did dry January.
Oh, God.
I'm like, you know, so what's dry January? He's like, you just don't drink during January. He's like, Mom, I had a really wet December. So.
Yeah.
He's like, my December was really wet, so I'm going to have a dry January. I'm like, I okay, Josh.
Dry January. To me, I think January needs to drink the most because it's depressing.
Yeah, there's nothing to do January and February. No. They're boring months.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, I'll just drink so I have fun. I don't know. All right. That's probably problematic. We'll unpack that in another episode. All right. Let's thank Megan, Gabrielle, Malika, Kirby, OMG Al, Savannah, McKenna, Nicole, Sarah and Bree, Shelby, Molly, Carly, Mega Megster, Kylie Ray, Sydney, Caitlin, Rory, Jennifer, Kason, Tanaya, JC, Hannah, Evan, Camilla, Lisa, Senna, Camry, Nev, David, Katie, Princess Gatewood, Mary, Ice Coffee. Oh my God. That's another Ice Coffee.
Oh my goodness.
Ahmed, Dinesha, Madison, Elizabeth, Nurse Sammy, Bex, Ken, Jackie, Angela, Mia, Karina, Jess, Alexandria, Julia, Alima, Julia, Maddie, let me switch to the next page. Thank you and good night. Aaron, Victoria, Bailey, Katie, Kiana's World, Quiana, Evan, Maddie, Shay, Jordan, Jennifer, Olivia, Kara, Caitlin, Callie, Shelby, Zoe, Viviana, Mary, Lil Bitchette, Anika, Mary, Akima, Vitor, Michaela, Shanna, NL, Jenna Loves Broccoli, Emily Lily, Jamie, Miranda, Shattered Glass, Ella, Samantha, Emily, Callista, Raul, Taylor, Sophie, T-Dolls, Lily, Satya, Chloe, Grace, Tabitha, Caitlin, Sydney, Quincy, Shreya, Hannah, and Perry. Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Are we getting any further with our, to the end?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I really know, but we're pretending yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, getting further to the end. That's what I meant. Yeah. All right. Well, we have had such a freaking hard time figuring out the order of these stupid episodes.
I know. I can't even go by numbers anymore. You just need to tell me like the name because the numbers are all...
Well, nothing matches up. It's like there's all of these like random episodes that are like on one platform, it's two episodes. On this platform, it's one episode. It's number 33. But on this one goes first. But it's like we're in this vortex of Dance Moms.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really difficult to keep track of. So, I mean, what I know about today's episode is it's a special. So it's easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Though I had a hard time watching this.
By the way, it is so hard to take her seriously trying to be sentimental. Come on.
I know. And she was like, you know, so like with her mom, like, meanwhile, yeah, she was never really nice to her mom, I didn't think.
No. No. Yeah. I thought she was mean to her mom.
You know, one thing I have to say, though, it was a great opportunity for her to say things to her mom. Like, I wish I would have had something like that, that I could have said all the things I ever wanted to say to my mom before she passed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was very nice that she got to do that.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's hard to like watch that knowing how cruel she is about like our mother-daughter relationships and give her like nothing against her mom, but like give her, I don't know, kindness, because she was so mean to us about our kids.
Well, she always wanted our kids to do the opposite of what we said.
Right. It was nice that she had that opportunity. I remember when they were filming this. I really do.
Where was it?
I think they filmed
that sure as heck wasn't her place.
No, I think they filmed it in a studio. I feel like it was in LA. I remember something.
I didn't know if it was Jeff Collins's backyard.
Oh, you know, it could have been.
For some reason, I think that's what it was, but I'm not sure.
I don't recall, but it easily could have been because he had that pretty backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like that would have been super easy for them to do it there. I honestly don't remember what that looked like to answer that.
Yeah, I don't either.
We'll just pretend it was Jeff's back. Yeah. All right, so I know this is all you, so I'll be quiet and just chime in with my riveting comments.
Oh, God. All right, let's see. We start out and, you know, Abby's like, it's Mother's Day. And who knows more about a mother than Abby Lee Miller? You're not a mother. You've never been a mother. That, ugh.
I know.
The first statement just irritated me.
I know. Because I'm like, hold on. You know nothing about being a mom. That would be me, like me being like, well, you know what? I just won the Super Bowl. No, I didn't. Yeah.
But then it goes to her talking about her mom and saying that the special is in honor of her.
Which is nice.
Yes. Then they show a clip of season 1, episode 8, when we're at Abby's house in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mrs. Miller comes out and Abby introduces us to her. And they show Melissa pushing Abby in the pool, which I think was the best moment in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that Melissa is the one they told to push her in the pool? Because if I'd have pushed her in the pool, she'd have probably killed me.
Well, of course.
I'd have definitely been sent to jail then. I should have did it. I could have gone off the show earlier.
That's right. But there's a clip that they just didn't show of that where Abby pretends to like she's going to push me in the pool. But it also looks like she's grabbing my ass. She's like, and that was the day that we filmed one of my favorite clips from Dance Moms, where we're making the martinis in the kitchen and we take the sip at the exact same time.
Oh, and it was so gross. Yeah,
I know. But so many people use that on TikTok to be like me and my best friend as we're pre-gaming to go out, like when they're trying
to be
at home.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean,
I don't even watch TikTok, so.
Well, I get them sent to me. You need to check your DMs.
I probably have a zillion of them.
Yeah.
That's probably why all my pictures are blurry. It's backed up by all the damn DMs that I don't know how to look at.
No, your pictures are blurry because you screenshot Google Images.
No, I posted a picture yesterday and everybody was commenting that, you know, I looked at that picture and I thought it was clear.
You were drunk, Kelly.
I think it's because I'm blind.
No, I think it's
because I am becoming blind because when I looked at that picture, I thought it was clear.
Okay, I got to look. You're hysterical. You said, I posted that picture. I thought it was clear.
Well, my girlfriend texted me and said, Kelly, take that down.
What? How bad was it? I didn't see it.
But it looked clear to me. I'm blaming it on my eyeballs.
Really? Picture is not clear.
It looked clear to me.
God, look at this picture.
I'm telling you, I think I'm going blind. I can't see. I didn't have my glasses with me.
Kelly, that's so blurry. So
dead. Somebody wrote the quality.
I know.
So fucking dead. Kelly, did you replace this with poor quality? Somebody said, you know it's Kelly Nyland's picture when it shows up in your feed and it's blurry.
Hey, they're lucky I posted something.
Somebody else said, it kills me how I know you have a good quality picture of you because Broken Page posted a good one and you chose this.
I'm telling you, that's why I think I'm going blind, because I thought it was clear.
Oh my God.
I can assure you it's not clear.
I know. Everybody told me. I'm getting texts from everybody I know and are like, take that down. I'm like, no, I'm leaving it up. I'm leaving it up. That's just me.
I just commented. I said, at least you're consistent with your content quality.
Shut up.
Oh my God, Kelly, that's hysterical. You posted 2 in a row.
I did?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. One's blurry and one's...
How did that happen?
I posted them back to back. You posted one 20 hours ago and it's clear. And then you posted one 16 hours ago and it's blurry. And you wrote the same caption, my balance.
Oh my God. I must have thought it didn't send. I should just stay off of social media.
Oh, that's so wait, she posted this one and then 4 hours later she posted this one with the same caption.
Please don't oh my God.
Posting on social media.
I should probably hire somebody. I need like a little intern who wants to help me with my social media. Somebody contact me.
So good.
Kelly,
please don't ever take this down because just the quality of the story about this is everything and more.
Why do I feel like cocktails played a role in this photo quality?
Yeah.
It might have. Yes. It might have.
I love the
I'm blaming it on that. And I'm blind. Because that second one I thought was clear.
Yeah.
I thought I didn't even know I posted the second one, but
one is so much better.
She said, I didn't even know I posted the second one.
Well, I thought that I must have thought that the first one didn't go through.
Like, this is your job, and 10 years later, you still don't know how to post on Instagram.
Kelly, I love
job.
What?
It's my job. I never get to do ads because I don't know how to do it because I suck. All you make money on ads, and I don't because I don't know how to do it. So I need a little intern.
I wonder why.
I need a little college person that. To help me out.
All right. Somebody please reach out to Kelly and offer to help run her social media. Although I would miss blurry pictures.
Oh, gosh.
I'm dead.
All right. So all let's right. keep going. So yeah, Melissa pushes Abby in the pool and then Broadway baby makes his cameo and comes over. A poor little face on that dog.
Oh, my God. Dirty eyes and all.
I know. It's so dirty looking. But Abby says that she's always been inspired by her mom. Her mom is a fabulous dance teacher who taught kids to love the art of dance. And she says that, you know, Marion didn't push Abby into doing dance, but instead she signed her up for everything that came down the pike. And she listed examples like the Girl Scouts, ice skating, roller skating, sewing, skiing, and swimming. I didn't even know they had roller skating classes. Did they have classes for roller skating?
It's like the 70s. And sewing, but I just want to point out Abby always talks about how we like, quote unquote, live vicariously through our kids, blah, 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 blah. But I do want to state for the record that I signed my kids up for everything that came down.
So did I. Yeah.
They just stuck.
Our kids weren't allowed to do anything else.
Yes.
Because Abby wouldn't let them because they weren't allowed. They had to be at the, and she says down here in a few minutes about how she wasn't at the dance studio for 24 hours a day. Well, we wouldn't have been either if you didn't make us.
Right, right. But also our kids, I mean, Chloe tried soccer. She played piano. Like she did basketball. None of it went well, you know, but we did try things, but then we got in trouble for trying them.
The other thing I had to say about that statement was she says about the Girl Scouts.
I know.
Anybody that couldn't dance, Abby used to say, you need to go to Girl Scouts because they suck. But Abby obviously didn't work out Girl Scouts either. Maybe that's why, because we seen her dancing.
Oh, we did see it.
And that's probably why her mom said, you need to go to Girl Scouts.
That's probably why.
And that's why she tells all of us that.
There was a soloist this past weekend who did a Girl Scouts dance. And I looked at Brittany and I said, you know that if this would have been at our studio, that would have been like a big middle finger to the family.
To whoever it was. Yeah, you shouldn't be dancing. Yeah.
I mean, it was a really cute dance, but I was just like, oh God, the Girl Scout thing, like, you know, is just an underhanded, like, insult.
Yeah. So Abby says that I did it all. I just didn't do anything really well until I decided I wanted to become a choreographer. They said, luckily for Abby, her mother allowed her to choreograph for her students and she loved her for that. I agree that Abby did that well.
And she got to choreograph for you. What was your experience with Abby like?
can't remember my first one. I think it was Another One Bites the Dust. The
Yes, the Queen
another
song.
One Bites the Dust. Yeah. I think that's what I can remember. And it was a red costume. It had nude down the side, like a nude opening with like sequin flats. And I can remember the moves. I should show you them, but I'm not going
to
embarrass
myself.
I can't
wait to see them, please. Can you just
but
show
it's funny one? Because, no, I can't. I'll show you off of camera.
That's so mean.
I don't want to embarrass
on
myself.
Patreon.
Well, we'll see, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. So Abby says it all started in Miami. I know what you're thinking. And who moves from Miami to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, amen.
And she thinks this is why she loves the sun so much. Like, are you kidding me? Because your mom lived in Miami. That's why you love sun.
Weird. Okay. Weird. Weird. Yes.
And she says, Miami is Mecca for the arts, like music and fashion. You name it, Miami has it on. Now, I wanted the ALDC to experience Miami firsthand. I remember spending the day at Miami Beach, just me and my girls. I wanted to puke when she said my girls.
Yeah, that's so.
Yeah, I hate your girls now. Like,
yeah. I wonder if any of those girls would be like, oh yeah, I'm yours. Yay.
Yeah, yeah. So then they show a clip from season 2, episode 10 of the girls at Miami Beach with Abby.
That was when poor Paige had her warts.
Yeah. And you know what? You hear it. When she's running from the water, she's like, oh, my feet.
Aww,
and everybody probably thought, oh, she's a whoosh. She probably stepped on a seashell and is whining about it. But no, that was when she had her wart surgery or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, those are definitely warts.
Yeah. So that sucked. But have a drink because Abby is wearing a pink headband.
Oh, headband.
Yay. Abby asked if anybody watched the movie Beach Blanket Bingo.
Yeah.
And of course, none of our kids did, but Nia did.
Nia, you overachiever, making the rest of us look bad.
And you know Holly told her to do that.
Of course.
Yes, yes. So Nia's showing Abby moves from the movie. And, you know, Abby's like, you know, these moves are the same moves that are in your routine. She shows them doing like the swim and the whatever.
The little hobby thing. I don't know. Like
the pony.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. And Abby says that the girls worked really hard and only have a few hours at the beach. So she lets the girls go play in the water.
Did she just say our kids worked hard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So she let them go play in the water. And did you hear that Summer Love song was playing in the background?
Did. They've used that quite a few times since
they do. Yeah. Yeah. It's always instrumental though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You never hear her singing it.
Well, they probably are like, you know what? We bought the rights to this music. We have to use it every time we can.
Yeah.
It's probably what they did.
Yeah. So then they show the girls like Brooke does like a roundup. I can't spring into the water and stuff. And a couple of them do aerials. And of course they're doing gymnastics. Right. My kids did when your kids were young, did they just do gymnastics everywhere?
Yes.
I don't care where we were. They were doing a cartwheel or something.
And crazy. Do you remember? Oh God, I know I did this. I feel that you did it as well. I know Brittany and Diane did. Anytime you went to the beach, you had to have like a fucking dance photo shoot on the beach.
Yeah, like, I know. Yeah. But you know what? It's so funny now that I live down here and I'm at the beach, you know, more often. I see kids doing that and they're like having their mom like try to catch them doing their side aerial and stuff. And I just sit there and laugh and watch them and be like, oh my God, been there, done that.
Yeah. You're like, it's hey, cute. Take a burst. Then you'll at least you'll get the first try. You can pick the one you want.
Yeah, it's cute.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Nothing gives me negative confidence like wearing the perfect outfit. You know, when you walk into a place and you just feel confident because you have, like, you know you look good.
Yeah. Yeah. You used to say that all the time about costumes. You're like, oh, it's like wearing the best outfit.
Yeah.
I agree. But a very close second would be Lumi whole body deodorant, because unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet. And yes, Kelly, even your privates. Because in fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. So we have a special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code BAR at LumiDeodorant.com. Now, I can tell you, when I was in New Orleans renovating my house, it is hot in New Orleans. And I love Lumi because it helped to keep all of my parts smelling fabulous, if not inoffensive.
I think my favorite is the body wash.
Yeah, it's great. It's
so humid here. Like, I just feel like that my whole body is covered.
I would agree with that. I would agree. So whole body deodorant. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. You can use it on your pits, your under boobs, your thigh folds, your belly buttons, your butt crack, your personal vaginal areas, we'll say, and your feet.
It's created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Because unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask with fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
It's baking soda free and paraben free.
It's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut.
So Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash, like you said, and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. Tell them all.
As a special offer to our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter kit with code BARRE, that's BAR, at LumiDeodorant.com. That's equivalent to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code BAR, BARRE.
You guys are going to love it.
The girls realize Mackenzie's missing. Like, they all go up and give Abby a hug, and Abby's like, oh, geez, we went and lost Mackenzie. And they show Mackenzie in her interview showing her saying, oh, I could have been lost at sea.
They always gave her the cute lines.
I know. That's what I was just going to say. I always give her something cute to say, because Mackenzie would have never thought of saying that.
No. I don't even think they would have got, like, what that meant. I mean, yes, you would have got what it meant because it was, like, lost at sea, but, like, that phrase isn't a phrase that, like, the kids would be like.
That a six-year-old would have said, yeah.
I could have been lost at sea. That's like a Shirley Temple line.
Yeah. So Abby says, everything about Miami is beautiful, tropical, and gorgeous. She talks about how her parents got together. Her dad started out dating her, like, long distance from Pittsburgh. He was in Pittsburgh. She was in Miami. He went there every chance he could. And she says, my dad took her out for one date and then he spent the rest of his time in Gulfstream Racetrack. How about her say, that's where I think my inheritance went, to the ponies. Like, is that a dig that her dad didn't leave her enough money or something?
I guess.
I didn't know he was a gambler.
Oh, I did. She talked about that all the time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I guess I knew it. I just didn't remember.
Yeah.
So I thought this was weird, too. She says that her dad married her mother because of a note that his mother gave him. So, like, when his mom died, she said, you know, I think you should marry that Marion or whatever. And she's saying that that's the reason why he married her. I would hope that he married her because he loved her.
Right.
I thought that seemed weird. That statement seemed weird.
You think that's weird? Here comes even weirder.
Yeah. When she says first comes love, second comes marriage, and then a star is born.
No, that's nauseating. No, the next part, but the star is more. Blah. But hey, humble much?
I was going to say the same thing. Are you kidding me?
She almost annihilated Chloe because somebody asked for a photograph with her or her autograph. And she's like, all you want to do is sign autographs. This one, you're out there telling everybody a star is born.
Yeah. So then they cut to a photo of Abby dancing as a child. Uh-huh. Which, so I guess she tried dance and just.
Kelly.
In that list of things. She didn't say she tried dance. She said Girl Scouts, ice skating, rolling, sewing, skiing, and swimming.
We saw her solo.
Yeah. What was she doing?
I don't know.
I can't remember what she was doing.
I'd like to know what the technical term for that is so that we can never, ever use it again.
Is this the part you're talking about when she says, my dad named me after the most beautiful girl he ever dated, and her name was Abigail. And then she says, let me remind you that my mother's name is Marion.
If my husband said to me,
I killed him. Yeah.
If my husband said to me, let's name our daughter after the most beautiful girl I ever dated, after
I'd have to kill him.
Child out of my vagina, I would shove my shoe up his ass. Like,
yeah.
That you shoved up of Abby's ass. Oh, Brittany the other day texted me and she's like, Michael just found Dance Moms on TV and he was watching it. And she goes, Kelly was all kinds of unhinged in this episode. And she sent a picture of us. First of all, every picture of you and I together on screen, we look like fucking miserable bitches. But the minute I looked at it, I said, oh, I said, that's the shove the crown up your ass episode. She goes, that's exactly what she said. I said, I remember it well.
Yes.
I was sitting dead across from you. When you said that, I almost fell off my chair because I was laughing hard.
I don't know how I just, things just came out of my mouth.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then Abby says that everything she learned from her mom. She was an amazing dance teacher. And, you know, she describes her mother as creative, imaginative, and playful. She had a very different teaching method than she did, which I totally agree with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how she came up with that teaching method. Do you think it's from her dad? Because her dad was pretty strict.
You said that she's like her dad.
Yeah, I think she got it from him, which is weird though, because you would think she would have been nice like her mom because her mom was the dance teacher.
Yeah, I don't know. I never knew her dad, so I can't speak to that.
You never knew him.
Look, Kelly, I'm sure there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot. Maybe she wanted to be the opposite of her mom because she was secretly mad that her mom, I don't know.
Here she says, my mom took 3 streetcars by herself at the age of 12 so she could assist a studio owner who taught a dance class. And her mom eventually went on to own her own dance studio. But that's the shit she used to want our kids to do. Like when Mrs. Miller grew up, it was a totally different time and age. Like,
yeah,
you could do things on your own.
Yeah.
Our kids were 12. You could not send your kid off to do something on their own.
3 streetcars. Kelly, when I was a kid, my grandma used to give me a note and a rolled up $5 bill to go buy her a pack of Pall Malls at the store. You can't do that today either.
I know. So I don't understand why Abby doesn't realize that.
Right now, I don't know. You can barely walk through an airport like as a grown ass human and not worry that you're going to get sex trafficked.
Yeah. So then she said, my mom always said you can learn to speak French in dance school. So that brings us into them showing a next clip, which is season 2, episode 21, the musical theater routine.
Alouette, je te alouette.
That song just makes you want to dance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But did you watch when they showed it? Did you see the judges? They're all like tapping and
yeah. It is great, but I to this day, Chloe will still maintain that was one of the hardest dances they ever did because it was so fast, but technical ballet.
Yeah.
She's like, it was so hard to do.
Yeah, you've said that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, I think, I mean, other than Chloe's probably the most ballet. We never got ballet class.
You just said, when did I say that? You used to say it when you were little. Trust me, I've asked. stop chiming in back there unless you want to be a guest.
Yes, we could use your input, Miss Chloe.
Yeah.
So Abby says, every wife in the neighborhood used to have a martini waiting for their husband when they got home from work. Not my mom. Thanks to my mom, dance is in my DNA. And that's the tie that binds us. I don't understand what that had to do with getting her husband a martini on the way home from work.
But. I don't either. I guess meaning her mom's working and all the other wives are just stay at home wives.
Waiting on their husbands, I guess.
I mean, that's fine. Whatever, to each his own. But I love that she qualifies what's acceptable to bond them. She's like, well, this bonds me and my mom. But if we were like, hey, dance bonded us, she'd be like, you're living through your kid.
Uh-huh. Okay, then it leads into them showing you at your childhood home.
Right.
And you're in your interview and you say, I used to dream of taking dance class and I lived with my grandparents moving back and forth. And I danced on my lawn, dreaming of a life like Chloe has. Mm-hmm. I didn't have opportunities that Chloe has, but my grandparents were able to give me something my mother didn't, unconditional love. And they show flashbacks of you looking at your childhood home and crying.
I cannot stand when they show clips like this and they allow Abby to say something because it's either one or two things. She's either going to like mock it incessantly and like be cruel, or she's going to pretend that she's kind so that everyone thinks she's nice and she's really not. And
yeah,
well, wasn't that was really sweet. Why can't the moms act like that all the time? Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, she normally would be screaming at me that, you know, we're trash and Chloe's trash and everybody's trash and you can't pay your bills and she sucks and buy me a hamburger or what, just whatever.
Yeah. So then Abby introduces her mom and she wishes her a happy Mother's Day. And Mrs. Miller wishes her, Abby, a happy Mother's Day and says, look at all those kids that you've raised.
It is not raising a child, teaching them dance.
When I heard that, I was just like, I just wanted to say like, no, look at all the kids that you made have like an eating disorder and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, or that you've made have PTSD, like, cause you didn't raise any of them.
No.
At least not properly.
Right.
So Abby says, I appreciate that even if they don't.
I hate that. All of the kids, they're always grateful. Even when Chloe won Teen Choice, okay, and I forgot because I hadn't seen this video in forever, she won Teen Choice, like Choice Dancer, and Abby was sitting a couple rows in front of her, which I'm sure was terrifying because we had left the show at that point. And she said, I want to thank every dance teacher I've had, instead of being like, I want to thank my dance teacher, you know what I mean? But she was including Abby in that. So these kids always appreciated her.
Yeah. So she's the one that doesn't appreciate them.
Yeah.
I think my kids like always say that they appreciate dance moms and things like the opportunities they got them and stuff. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever heard Abby say that she appreciates our kids for what they got her. So,
well, because according to her, they got her nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. So Abby asks her mom, you know, about becoming a dance teacher instead of becoming a performer. Like, why didn't she become a performer instead of a dance teacher? And she says it was because of her dad. She used to dance for the United States organization, USO, when she was in high school. He forbade her from continuing to do so. I think she went to, isn't that a Catholic school?
What?
Where her mom went to school. I thought she went to a Catholic school.
I don't know, but like the USO... You know, like when they would perform for the soldiers, you know, like Bob Hope specials. I remember Abby always talking about this, but it was Abby's grandpa, right? Like Marion's dad that forbid her.
It wasn't her dad. It wasn't Abby's dad. Okay.
Right. It was her grandpa. Like Marion's dad said, absolutely not. Probably okay. Because, I mean, it was, I'm sure, scandalous in some way back then, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Probably yeah. Like being a Hooters girl.
Exactly.
Equivalent yeah. Of a Hooters girl.
Then I want to puke when she said this statement. Abby says, since moms are my specialty. She's like, I also have to mention the not so fabulous moms, or should I say rude, distasteful, and ugly. Like how rude.
Yeah, I was so waiting for something of us.
I was just going to say the same thing. I was waiting for it to be me and you, and it was Jill.
I know.
I loved that. Yes. Same. So they show a clip from season 2, episode 6. We're in the dressing room and Jill gets mad and she's fighting. I think they're fighting over the costume, right?
Yeah.
Jill
yeah,
wasn't allowed to use the costume. Right. And she throws the shoe and whatever. I correct Jill by like Jill saying like, you don't want us here. And I'm like, no, we want you here. We just want you to play by the rules. And Jill's like, you know, I'm going to pack my bags and leave. And so you're in your interview and you're like, this is one of your famous sayings.
Oh yes.
Jill's throwing shoes and she's cursing. And all I'm thinking is it's so hard to take you seriously wearing that hat.
I stand by that to this day. I'm leaning into it. I mean, the outfit. It wasn't just the hat, though. Let's be clear. It was the multitude of accessories.
Yes.
The necklace, the off-the-shoulder shirt, the rhinestone belt buckle, the boots. It's just like, just goes on.
I have that same shirt she has.
Yeah. When you wear it, it didn't look like that. It looked cute.
So Abby or Jill yells at Abby, you know, telling her to allow Kendall to wear the goddamn costume, and she storms out.
I love the goddamn costume.
Uh-huh.
Let her wear the goddamn costume, Abby. And that's when I was like, oh, Jill's serious.
Yeah. So Abby in her interview says, some might think Jill was passionate. And she's like, really? She threw a shoe at me. I think she was just rude. That was bad behavior. What kind of mother is that? You know, I just have to say that a mother that's sticking up for her child.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good for you, Jill. So Abby wants to show her mom that she isn't always mean and tough. So she says in her interview, my mother showered her students with love and kindness. She's a very giving woman. And I think I picked up a few of those qualities too. Then they go to the one only moment that Abby ever did anything nice with her
kids. And then they set up. Abby did not set this up.
That's what I was just going to say, that she didn't have anything to do with other than she had was being paid to do it.
Be on camera. But wait. I will tell you a story that before the show, Abby took the kids one time. Remember it was after something she took, like it was Maddie, Chloe, Paige. I don't know who else. Nia might've been there, but she took them to see Secretariat. Now, mind you, they all paid for all of their own stuff. So Abby didn't take them. She gave them a ride and they were all working around in the movie theater, and Paige kicked Chloe in the face and gave her a bloody nose. And Abby goes, go to the bathroom. I'm watching the movie. So I don't know where the love and kindness is.
Oh my goodness. Poor Chloe. Paige with that big old boat she has.
I remember you used to say that to Paige.
She did. Just saying it to her that she was sitting at my kitchen table and Paige had her foot up. And Brooke is like, I think she called them barges or something. I don't know what she was talking about. But they were making fun of her feet still to this day.
What size shoe does she wear?
8.5.
Yeah, that's what I wear.
Maybe a 9. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Brooke wears a 5. So compared to Brooke's shoes, she would take them off when she came in. It looked like I had little baby shoes down there, like little kids' shoes. They're so cute.
Little Barbie shoes.
They were so cute. Okay, so they show us at the ice cream shop in Vegas. And, you know, Abby has the girls out.
We're there in Rumor.
Oh, gosh.
They were in Rumor.
Ugh. So Abby says the rehearsals were getting pretty intense. So we, you know, they're working for hours on end. So she thought that they would take a little break. And she took the girls next door to get ice cream and have a drink because Abby's were. Are you still drinking water?
It's straight vodka now.
No, it isn't, you lying sack of shit.
Yeah, it's water. All right, I'll get some wine. Okay.
I don't like rosé.
No, I like a dry rosé.
I don't know why this is important, but it says the server bring out 2 big glasses of ice cream for everyone to share. But Nia is shown eating her own. Did Nia not like to share, like eat after people maybe?
No, she didn't like to share. Okay. Chloe said no. I didn't know.
Okay. I didn't know that either. I didn't even realize she had a different thing of
Yeah.
ice cream.
Okay.
But Abby says, ice cream. I definitely inherited my sweet tooth from my mom.
Okay.
Even though they have different teaching styles, Abby's mom influenced Abby's with creative decisions, music selections, and her design costumes, which I think all of those were very good traits to get from her mom. I think
Yeah.
Abby was good at all those things.
Yes, she was especially great at assigning us to do the costumes.
Yeah. So Abby pivots from talking about her childhood, that she always asked for a dog on her birthday or at Christmas, and that she finally adopted Broadway Baby when she turned 30. And here's where they show Broadway Baby with that dirty face.
Yeah.
She's like, Broadway Baby is the best thing in my life. She doesn't roll her eyes at me. She is wonderful.
Oh, she did love her.
She's like, I might tell the girls to save their tears for their pillows, but I save mine for my mom. And then they show,
They weren't allowed to cry to their moms.
no. So they show a clip of, it's a season 3, episode 9 of Abby is at her house in Florida, and she walks in the door and goes to her bookshelf where she has pictures of Broadway Baby. And she's crying and she's telling, Mrs. Miller how wonderful Broadway Baby was. And she regrets not being around more. What if something was wrong? She could have done something about it if she would have known. And Mrs. Miller points out that Broadway Baby got sick in a day and it was probably her time to go. I just think of that dog walking around. It could barely walk. I wonder if something was wrong with the dog for a while and they just didn't know.
Sure.
I mean, I don't even know what the dog died of, but I mean, the dog struggled walking.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So then Abby says, Broadway Baby kept me sane. She made everything okay. When I came home from work upset and distraught over those mothers.
Oh God. Oh, thank God she had the dog to give her like emotional support
Yeah.
over the mother.
She's like, Broadway Baby would kiss and lick me. I wasn't here for her when she needed me. I was with somebody else's kids.
But that's your job. It wasn't that you were with kids. It's that's your job. Like that's your job.
Yes. Our Mrs. Miller gets choked up and says she's never heard Abby say that before. And that's where I kind of said she got to say things to her mom that she probably would have never said to her before she passed. So I thought she was very lucky to get to do that. And Abby says,
Wild, this next part. I'm like, it was like a record scratch. I'm like, what?
Abby says, I know I was more of a daddy's girl. She's like, my dad told me that you dropped me off the kitchen table once. Is that true?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what a weird thing to like turn and say to Mrs. Miller.
Yeah, like I'm a daddy's girl because you dropped me off the
You dropped me
table when
off
I was
the table.
little. I think every mom has done something like that. Like I was carrying Brooke down the steps in a laundry basket
Oh, I
because
remember that.
the little brat would never let me put her down. So I had to carry my laundry. So I had to put her in it and I tripped over the last step and she fell. So
Yeah,
I think a lot of people did that, but that didn't make Brooke a daddy's girl.
No, I thought this was a weird like thing. I'm like, wait, what? I literally was like, this is a bizarro hard turn. It was weird.
Yeah. So Mrs. Miller confirms that she did that. She dropped her off the table, and Abby jokes and says, that was her first aerial. And Mrs. Miller's like, yeah, that was your first backflip. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh
Because
my.
I don't think Abby was doing, from watching her solo, I don't think Abby could do an aerial.
No, I'm
So that
thinking.
was probably her only shot at it.
I think you're right.
Yes. So then they're talking about how Mrs. Miller opened up her dance studio in 1945, and now the ALDC has taken its place. Mrs. Miller confirms that Abby was 14, and Abby was the same kind of dance teacher that she is now. And she's like, was she mean and tough back then? And
Yeah.
she was, I have to agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a bitch to Abby says that Mrs. Miller's former students and what one they went to accomplish after leaving her studio. And Abby surprises her with a video from one of her students whose name was Linda Lee, who I guess that's who they got Abby Lee, her name off of.
Oh.
Yeah, Mrs. Miller named the Lee part after
Yeah.
this student. So she shows a video of her thanking Mrs. Miller for being her dance teacher and how it led her into becoming a, having a successful dance career. And Abby points out that she's one of hundreds of people who, you know, her mom has taught and has gone on to be more. And Abby says, "I know that I've attempted to follow in your footsteps, but I will never fill your shoes."
I thought that was really
And
sweet.
yeah. And Mrs. Miller says that she's proud of Abby and she thanks her.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet. I really did.
Yeah. And Mrs. Miller says, "I'm sure your dad is looking down at you and is very proud too."
Aww.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet because Abby really thought a lot of her dad. So that
Right.
was nice of her to say that.
Right.
So then it goes to Abby talking about me. And Mrs. Miller remembers me, you know, dancing for her.
I
And
like
they
you're like
show,
me.
gosh. So then they show a clip from season 2, episode 17, and we're at Babette's. And
Yeah.
we, yeah, so you and I are with Brooke and we're shopping for her 8th grade farewell. And I say, "I want Brooke to attend this dance because I want her to be a normal kid." And I definitely tried to do that. I always wanted, I never wanted her to look back and be like, "Oh, I didn't get to go to my 8th grade farewell because you made me work."
Right. But, you know, it's like, and you did do a great job with trying to make sure that they did that. But it's funny because it's like, well, she might have not gone to her 8th grade farewell, but she went to Teen Choice. You know, it's
Yeah.
like,
Yeah. I
but
wanted her to do both.
yeah, exactly. And
But
I,
I think what I didn't realize at the time was that my kids got tortured because I made, like, that week Brooke was tortured and had to do something like to be thrown off the show
oh,
to
yeah.
get to go there. So I don't know which would have been better, not to have her be
Yeah.
tortured or to stay home from the 8th grade farewell. I'll have to
Yeah.
ask for that someday on here.
Yeah, I wonder what how she feels about that now.
Yeah. So I tell Brooke to do a fashion show for us, and she comes out in this little fluffy
Yeah.
lavender dress, and I'm like, "Oh, that's too big." And then she comes out and she's in the dress that she actually got, and they show me crying like a baby, and I'm
Yeah.
like, "It's gonna be hard. I don't want her to go without me." And I didn't.
No,
I mean, as much as I wanted her to go to the dance, as her mom, I wanted to be there. Like,
yeah, of course.
I help her get ready for every dance competition she ever went to. Like, I wanted to be there to do her hair and do her makeup.
Course, of course. Well, right. Yeah, I mean, those are the things that we stick in our brains as like failures. It like, oh, we didn't get to do this, but I don't know, Chloe, do you ever think back of the stuff we didn't do?
I think it probably wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
But like, because we're on the show
She
and.
said we put a lot of pressure on ourselves being on the show to make sure that we were like being better versions of moms than we probably, because
Yeah.
we felt a lot of guilt. Still
Yeah, still do,
do.
but do you notice how Abby, like, they just kind of dropped that. Abby said nothing about
Nine.
that. She said nothing about, she skipped to, they grow up so fast, from preschoolers starting their first dance class to little girls accomplishing great feats. I remember when Mackenzie started her first, very first dance class, and look at her now. She commented nothing about Brooke's thing.
No.
So then they go to a clip of season 2, episode 5, Mackenzie doing her solo. The party starts right now. And Abby's shown standing, smiling, watching Mackenzie do her rehearsal. And this is when Abby starts crying and says, you know, how it means so much. What Abby never cries. And Mackenzie brought her to tears because her dance was so
Yeah.
good.
Never mind. I'm just being a bitter bitch. I'm like, oh, it must be nice for her to like your kid enough to cry.
So Abby says, "Every once in a while, dance instructors have moments in their lives where everything starts to make sense. When Mackenzie nailed her routine, Abby had a moment where she thought to herself, 'This is why I do this.'" And she gives Mackenzie a big hug.
That's nice. You just gagged.
Then she said, then they show Mackenzie saying, "I made Miss Abby cry because I did my dance really good." And then Abby says, "Mackenzie is not a little girl anymore. She's not
Right.
a baby. She is now a dancer."
And she's six.
Yeah.
Right. And she's all grown up now. Six. Stop sucking your thumb. You don't need a mom.
And this part irritated me too. Now she says, "A mother's love for her child inspired this next routine." And it's season 1, episode 7, where Maddie did the angel
Yeah.
dance.
Well, they get all the nice stuff. I don't know if you read a memo. That's how dance moms goes.
But I got a few things to say about this. First, that And second of all, if I was to inspire, all the dance inspired about us were me.
My mom's a bitch, bags of money. Yeah.
And then if she said it inspired by us, we get told that we're living vicariously through our kids.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm having a drink. Did you get your wine yet? We need to drink.
Chloe, can you pour me a little bit of wine? I'm making Chloe pour me wine.
Okay. So then we have Melissa crying in her interview saying that I truly believe that my mom is always watching my daughter when she's on stage.
Daughters.
I'm just going to say that. I'm like,
plural.
Yes. You have two of them on stage. Yes.
Two.
Yes.
God, anytime I feel badly, because I'm like, oh man, I didn't take Clara everywhere. I just have to remember that I at least include Clara in sentences.
Yeah. So then they show Maddie performing her solo. And Abby says that Maddie dedicated her solo to her late grandmother who died when too young.
She got to do shit like that. My grandma was dying and they called the episode Dying to Dance. And it was about where have all the children gone?
Oh yeah.
They killed themselves.
Yeah. Okay. So then Abby says, this is very special for one of us. You can always spot a dancer by their legs. My mom has great legs. They're legendary. And she asked Mrs. Miller if her legs ever got her any jobs. And Mrs. Miller's like, yes. She worked for selling leg makeup at the 5 and 10 on Fifth Avenue in Pittsburgh. And they explain how, you know, they blacked out half of the window and Mrs. Miller would walk back and forth selling this lotion or whatever for her legs, which I never knew that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But here's where I said, she said, if the nuns knew I was in that window, I would have been expelled from Catholic school. So I guess that's where I got that other thing from. Yeah. It wasn't her dad.
Wow. Nuns are pretty buttoned up, huh?
Yeah.
They're pretty conservative.
Yeah. But Abby says, you know, back in the day that her mom was very confident because of her legs. And she says that sometimes confidence is just as important as dance technique. I agree with that. And you knocked everybody's confidence down every week except for Maddie's.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe you should have gave them some confidence.
And then they could have walked around selling leg makeup too.
Exactly. Yes.
We want a do-over. I want a do-over. I want the Maddie Ziegler treatment.
Yes. So then they show us at my favorite place. It's season 1, episode 11, and we are in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, you did.
I just loved Lake Tahoe. It was so beautiful.
It was very pretty.
And Abby's giving the girls, you know, like stretching on the lake. Uh-huh. And somebody says that they can't do what? Something she says they can't do on a bus or in a studio space rented for rehearsal because it's time consuming.
I guess.
I'm assuming that's like the legs and feet class.
Yeah. I think
that's what she was doing was a legs and feet class. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the beach. But again, this is when our kids used to be allowed to like breathe a little bit on the show.
Yeah. So they show Abby taking Chloe aside and talking to her about dance. And Chloe explains that the long days and learning a new dance every week is very overwhelming. And she'd like to take a break, but not quit dance altogether. She just wants a break. And Abby's like, that's okay. Everybody needs a break once in a while. I think you were really born to dance, which I thought that was very nice.
It was nice. It's probably the last nice thing Abby said to Chloe.
Yeah. So remember that, Chloe. She said one nice thing to you in your lifetime.
Locked in your brain. Chloe was born to dance the other night when she learned how to twerk from 70-year-old Carrie.
So Chloe asked Abby if she thinks that she would ever be able to be on Broadway or be a Rockette. And Abby says yes, but adds that Chloe needs to have incredible confidence in order to pursue those kinds of careers. Okay, like I just said a couple minutes ago, stop knocking down her confidence then.
Chloe just said her favorite pastime was knocking down.
Yes. Abby credits her success to her mother's influence. And this episode shows the group performance.
You forgot to drink for Abby's green headband though, ma'am.
Oh God. Did you get your wine yet?
I did.
Let me see it. It looks like water.
It's wine. I only lied once.
Okay. If this is the group dance, Mama, I Made It. Abby says, there's a special bond between mothers and daughters. All we got in this world is each other. We need to frame that.
Yeah, but she's only talking about herself. She doesn't mean us. Fucker.
Then she says, some of the most touching mother-daughter moments are when these kids really do need their moms. I think they always need
Know how
us.
much they paid her for this, reading these lines, because this is not the, you cannot put that woman on television for all of the episodes being the way she is and then give her a touching Mother's Day special. They offered her a bonus.
So then they show a clip of season 3, episode 7, and we're at Holly's house. And Holly is talking to Nia, and they're talking about her pain level. She reminds Nia of how when she was hospitalized because of her RND, and Holly in her interview says, 3 summers ago, Nia woke up with excruciating pain. She couldn't walk, so Nia had to be put in a wheelchair, and she was hospital bound. It came on suddenly, and Nia was basically out of dance. Nia managed her pain very well on a regular basis, but if she's in a successful situation, in a stressful situation, it becomes inflamed. So Holly asks Nia what is stressing her out, and Nia admits to being afraid that her best isn't good enough. And Holly encourages Nia to not give up and highlights her hard work and determination, especially considering her past challenges with being in a wheelchair. She says that we don't know if you're going to ever dance again. And now you're, we didn't know if you were ever going to dance again. And now you're dancing and you owe that to yourself. Then Abby says, there's a special bond between mothers and daughters. If someone's ill or sick, you're there for them no matter what.
Pretty sure that this is the episode that Abby really got ugly about Nia dancing and Holly called her a monstrosity of evil.
I
I'm pretty
love that.
sure.
I
So
love
I
that.
think Abby's rethought it and now she thinks it's special. I'm just guessing. Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, they're talking about this whole thing about Nia, the same as with Brooke. And when they were talking about Brooke, Abby changed it to Maddie or to Mackenzie.
Mackenzie.
Now, Abby says nothing about Nia and changes it to about Maddie. So we go to season 2, episode 6 of Maddie falling when she does her solo.
Oh,
After
God, the
competing her
drama.
solo, yeah.
And I mean the drama because we did not appropriately dissect this one when we recapped this the first time, and everybody attacked us that we were like evil bitches who were just out to like fall shame Maddie. And we're like, we don't remember what happened. It wasn't that we were shaming anyone. Like, we literally don't remember.
Yeah. They show Maddie being carried to the medical room or whatever the heck that was. And Maddie's in the nurse's office, and Abby joins her with Melissa and assures Maddie that she's not mad at her. And after icing her injury, the nurses assures everyone that Maddie will be okay. And Abby's like, if you had a big butt and you landed on it, it wouldn't have hurt. So I would have been okay if I had fell.
I
So I
think
got a
Melissa
big
says
old butt.
that. I
She
think
does.
Melissa said, not about you, about her. If you had a big butt like me,
Oh, I was
not
gonna
you.
say,
She didn't say
knock her
if you
shit
had,
out.
if you had a big ass like Kelly. No, that's not what she said. I said that when you had on the bride dress.
Yes. Abby says that Melissa is no angel. Do you remember when she stormed out of the studio with Mackenzie? Not a flattering moment, Melissa. And they show a clip from season 2, episode 11. We're in the observation room with all the moms. And Holly says, what kind of clothes do you need to get? I want to make sure I have my clothes. And I say, lunch for Nia and lunch for you. And Holly says, lunch for Nia, lunch for me?
I don't
What?
understand.
I don't
I'm
understand that
utterly
either.
like, what am I missing? I'm totally
Yeah, I
missing.
don't get that. Did I read that right correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so you say that you notice that Melissa is missing her engagement ring and you ask about it. And Melissa says, she's just not wearing it. And you're like, Melissa still won't discuss her engagement. And now she isn't wearing her ring. What's going on? And I
I
ask if
care.
that,
I'm sleuthy McSleuth and sleuth.
And I'm like, doesn't that hurt Greg's feelings? And Melissa responds, that it's just how it is, that's just how they're doing it.
Okay.
And Holly expresses sadness. She's like, an engagement is supposed to be a happy thing. I jokingly offer to try her ring on. Oh, that's when I'm like, you know, oh, let yeah, me try you on your ring and see if that's the one I want to, if that's the one I want to get.
You're funny because you always wanted to try on the diamonds and you never wanted to be married.
I know. And then Holly's like, you know, once I got engaged, I put my ring on, I never took it off. And Melissa just gets silent. And Holly asks Melissa if the girls say anything about it or if they notice that she's not wearing her engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
And this apparently is like the last straw because we hear Melissa grab her keys and she just storms out. Mm-hmm. And Melissa says she thinks the moms are nosy because they're jealous, but she's not sure. She's happy in her life. The moms should worry about their own children and not worry about hers.
I'm not jealous. I just need you to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not jealous.
So Melissa starts to go down the stairs and she, you know, tells all the moms that she won't be going to the competition with that weekend.
Yeah. But it makes us so insane. Like, we asked about her engagement ring and she hates us. And
she's not going to the competition. Yeah. So she busts into Studio A and tells Abby, you know, that
mothers are asking about
people are starting again. So me and my kids are leaving. I'm not going this weekend. And she tells Maddie under her breath, she says, these motherfuckers or whatever. And she storms off.
Here's the funniest thing is we always get the bad rap for being like awful parents and blah, blah, blah. There are very few times, I think, that you actually see us involve our kids. And Melissa on camera often is like, just fucking mothers hate you, Maddie. Everybody hates you. And then she's like, yeah, they're fucking with me, Maddie. I'm like, oh my God, stop saying it. She's 8.
Yeah. We always made sure we were like,
everything is fine.
It's not you, Maddie. It's Abby. Like, yeah. We're not talking about you. We're talking about Abby, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's really funny that Melissa's always the one who brings Maddie in on it. Or Abby is like, they hate you. They're all jealous.
Yeah. But then they show Maddie, you know, hugging Abby, crying, you know, as her mom's doing all this, which when we all stormed off, you know, we saw a clip of Jill storming out with Kendall. Abby wasn't hugging Kendall.
No. She wasn't.
You know, Melissa comes back in. She's like, you know, insisting that they're not going to the competition. And Abby's like, she knew the other mothers would eventually push Melissa too far. And Maddie's crying and insisting that they're not going to the competition. And Melissa's like, you know, Maddie can go, but Melissa and Mackenzie are staying home.
Okay.
And Abby agrees to that. And that's when they show Melissa calling Greg saying, please call your attorney. These mother effers are doing this again. But Melissa said she didn't call her attorney.
I know. I mean, I guess we're playing with semantics.
You point out the moms were just asking. And then Melissa tells the moms, you know, about every nook and cranny about her body, but we're not allowed to ask about her ring.
And then I think Holly said she brought up the word throbbing and then I died.
Abby says, my mother has class and style. Growing up with my mom was like attending finishing school. Let's talk all about etiquette. These kids put their feet on all over the furniture. When I grew up at my house, I didn't dare put my feet on the furniture. I got one look from my mom and I knew, cut it out.
I knew. That's what she screamed at you. I got one look from my mother and I knew. By the way, I think our kids have nicer etiquette than Abby. I'm just saying.
Have you ever watched the woman eat?
Yes, I have. Unfortunately, I can say yes to that. Yes, I have.
Ew. Yuck.
But I'm just saying she's always like, these children are awful. And I'm like, oh, I think they're okay.
Yeah. So they ask Mrs. Miller what her favorite routine was from Dance Moms. And she says, where have all the children gone?
Yeah, I think that's just a resound favorite.
She says that routine reminds her of when Abby used to get lost on purpose as a child.
Oh, for God's sake.
I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah. I also thought it was pretty funny that Mrs. Miller picked a dance that Brooke was the lead in.
Yeah, that's true. See, but yeah. I think Mrs. Miller always liked Brooke.
So did Abby.
Yeah.
So then they show a clip from season 1, episode 6 of the kids performing Where Have All the Children Gone? And Abby says, I've had a lot of favorites throughout the year, but a dancer like Maddie doesn't come along too often. And there we go. We're showing the dance that Brooke's the lead in, and she talks about Maddie.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, like, did you know that that's kind of what happens on Dance Moms? Did you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Abby goes on to say that Maddie has talent, drive, dedication, and discipline.
Okay. And a platform where somebody talks about how she's amazing every day. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So now we're on season, or they show a clip from season one, episode 10, and Melissa's away and Abby takes Maddie out to lunch. So she doesn't feel like an outsider since all of our kids have their moms. Abby talks to Maddie about her future and says that, you know, she keeps winning everything. And Maddie says that she wants to go on Broadway. And Abby says she sees Maddie having a future and could have her own TV show. Maddie has what it takes and she wants it. And Mrs. Miller says, you know, Maddie's a very nice girl on and off a stage. When she says that Maddie reminds her of Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Because she never has anything never to say about anyone.
Yeah. Well, Shirley Temple didn't have anything mean to say about anyone.
I don't think our kids ever had anything mean to say either.
No, but I
mean, us moms did, but our kids never did.
That is correct. But it's just interesting that it was like Shirley Temple never said a bad word. Like, wait, what? Shirley Temple was known because she was a tapper.
Yeah. So then they show a clip from season one, episode 8. Again, we're at Abby's house in Florida. Mrs. Miller says, or tells the moms, that Maddie has good manners and a brain like a sponge. I already said this. God. And you know, she reminds her of Shirley Temple again.
That's okay. Because this is the ongoing theme of Dance Mom. So it's fine that you're repeating it.
But Abby says that the other kids have a problem. They want instant gratification and they aren't willing to put in the work
that
would allow them to win. I don't know how she could say our kids didn't work.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Now she's going to rip on Brooke.
Yeah.
Brooke's turn to get singled out. You were worried she didn't get singled out. She's going to right now. Don't worry.
Yeah. Negatively.
Negatively.
Yeah. So Abby says one kid that had all the talent in the world and didn't have the desire, dedication, or drive was Brooke.
That's so mean.
Yes. And then they show a clip from season 2, episode 6 at Flowers in the Attic.
Which Don't get me started on the fact that there is a place that they used to take our kids to on the show named after a book about incest. I just cannot. Yeah. Like, let's go to Flowers in the Attic. Okay, that's all. Let's do it.
Yes. So
insane. And first of all, who names their business Flowers in the Attic? Oh.
But, you know, so Abby says that she doesn't have the dedication, desire, or drive, but then they show Brooke asking her if she can return. She tried cheerleading. She didn't like it. She wants to come back. Right. So obviously she has the desire and wants to do it. I, whatever. And Abby's like, it's just not that easy, Brooke. You stabbed everyone in the back and you slapped me in the face. Might I add there that this was like fake. Brooke did not really try out for cheerleading. This was all part of the storyline.
Right. But we have to make it out that Brooke was a terrible human.
Yes.
Okay.
And that she stabbed her friends in the back.
Oh, and slapped Abby in the face.
Yes. But Abby explains how she thinks that Brooke could have handled the situation better. And she thinks Brooke let her down. And again, it wasn't Brooke. It was what she was told to do.
Right.
But Abby says, my biggest disappointment would be that you just didn't want to dance. You have a God-given talent. Don't throw it away. Which that was very nice of her to say.
That was nice. Okay, we'll give her
Another nice thing. She said, Brooke was born to dance and I have invested a lot of time and energy into this kid. And Abby tells Brooke she has a lot to offer the team and she needs to prove herself. I just have to say, Brooke was down here. And when my kids were little, my dad lived on Marco Island, but we went to the beach on Marco Island and they said, oh, let's go show their boyfriends where my dad used to live, you know? So we drove past my dad's house and on the way there, there's a YMCA that you could walk to. But we used to go there all the time. And we were on vacation and I used to make Brooke go every day for 2 hours and rehearse her solos.
Mm-hmm. Nothing about this is shocking to me.
Oh my gosh. We drove past there and Brooke is like, Oh my God. She's like, I hate that place. She's like, you remember you used to make me go there and rehearse my solos on a gym floor? She's like, for 2 hours every day, I had to. She's like, Mom, I was on vacation and you used to torture me and make me do that. And I'm like, I like just had to apologize to her and be like, I know. And Brooke starts laughing and she's like, you used to say to me, if you want to be Miss Small Fry of America, you have to practice this.
Chloe, did you want to be Miss Small Fry of America? You were.
Oh, she's like, if you practice for 2 hours while you're on vacation, you won't miss small fry. And she's like, Mom, I didn't even care if I wouldn't miss small fry. She's like,
We wanted you to care, okay? We wanted you to
oh, it was
care.
terrible.
We wanted you to care. What was the problem? The problem right there is you didn't care. See, Abby was right.
Yes. So Abby says nothing like a little tea and sympathy. I love Brooke. We had a great relationship, even if she is her mother's daughter. Every once in a while, even questionable mothers have a moment of glory. I hate that woman.
Ridiculous. Okay, go on.
Yeah. But then they show a clip of an episode that shows Jill comforting Kendall crying and says, Abby, then they show Abby saying, but as good as mothers can always be, there's always much better just that at disappointing me.
Which now, of course, naturally, this has got to be you and I. Thankfully, it is.
Yes. They show a clip of season one, episode one. This was our first thing in Phoenix when me and you go to the bar and have a drink. And Abby
They
tells.
had to set cameras up in. They set the cameras up before we could go there. So
Yeah. And then came into the dressing room and said, Kelly and Christy, go have a drink at the bar.
yes, thank you. Thank you.
So
I
Abby's talking to us and she asks us if we're ready to go. And she leaves and we follow her out. And, you know, here's us two dipshits, you know, double fisted. And I'm like, we're double fisted. That's not good. And you're like, I don't double fist when I'm with my kids. I double fist when I'm in college. Well, you were double fisting with your kid there, girlfriend.
I was.
And then
Oh, I have to
Abby's.
show you something. Speaking of double fisted, I have to send you this. When I went and spoke at Syracuse, this little girl, well, she's not little, this college girl was waiting out front in her car for me to come out because she gave me two glasses for us. They say bitch number one and bitch number two. And on the back, it says, you're my favorite bitch to bitch about bitches with.
Oh my goodness, you better send me that.
I will, but isn't that cute?
Yes.
She was
Ah,
waiting outside.
sweet.
Yes, it
That
was
was
really,
sweet.
really cute.
Okay, so Abby says tells her mom that at 85 years old, she's proof that beauty is timeless. And they show a clip from season one, episode 11, again of us in Lake Tahoe, and the girls performing This Is My Beauty. Abby pulls out some of the mom's wedding photo, her mom's wedding photos, and says that Mrs. Miller admits that she didn't want a dress in the first place, and she borrowed this dress from someone who made costumes at her studio. Abby says once again that she was more of a daddy's girl, and she talks about her father's long battle with esophageal cancer.
Have you ever seen the clip coming up where, because Asia's in it, and this is before we go, where Abby's sitting on the cheese mat and she's like, and then I watched my dad struggling to breathe or some crazy shit with cancer and it was terrible. And Asia goes, and my dad had a dog that died. She goes, and he was so sad.
Oh
It's
my
the
gosh.
funniest. It really is. That clips like that are a testament to me that Dance Moms really is funny. Because
Yeah.
she's like, my dad had a dog and it
Well,
died.
it's just like how innocent they are. Do you know what I mean? Like, they had no idea. Yeah. So Abby says to her mom, I just hope that I have made you proud because you have made me what I am today, and I thank you. And Mrs. Miller says, oh, bless your heart. You're welcome. And then the episode ends with Abby wishing the audience a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, I need to know how much they had to trick her into saying nice things.
I know.
I do. I do. I think
Well,
it's
it
crazy.
wasn't how, did you say how much they had to trick her?
Pay her.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I don't think it was trick her. I think it was
Her,
how
pay
much,
her,
if you
driver.
pay her enough, I think she'd say anything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, if you pay her enough, she'll work at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
I think we should name this episode Cracker Barrel Hostess.
Okay, there we go.
Cracker Barrel hostess. Did you have any felonies or misdemeanors?
God, I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
I mean, I guess you could say we had a misdemeanor by being at the bar and being double-fisted, but...
Oh, for God's sakes. Meanwhile, as the seasons go on, that's not the most innocent thing you and I did.
I know.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't even think that's bad. Yeah, I mean, they didn't show any of the, I don't know. They didn't show any of, like, the really ugly stuff, so I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think Jill maybe had one thrown in the shoe. They showed that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They didn't really show many of our outfits.
No. I mean, I'd say the pyramid for outfits is always going to be the cowboy hat, as far as I'm concerned.
There we go.
Yeah, and favorite lines of the episode. I mean, I feel like it's really just got to be when Abby said, "Why can't the moms be sweet like this all the time?" When she felt really heartfelt about me, because it was her.
Yeah.
Well, this episode ended up being 5 hours long, so let's head over to the Patreon.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.
And if you're not a member of Patreon, go to patreon.com/backtothebar. Check us out. Come over. You can get access to our after party, exclusive content, and video. So come hang out with us. Bye,
hey,
guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Back to the Bar.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you love to listen to your podcasts.
And check out our YouTube channel, Back to the Bar, if you want to watch the episodes. The channel is linked in our show notes.
And if you want to join our weekly after party,
where we dish even more dirt,
like naked pizza, Kel, subscribe to our Patreon channel at patreon.com/backtothebar. See you next time.
See you next time.
Baby, I just wanna dance.